당은도 가서 최진 제라 당은도게 나 샘제 탐제 다 소소 나신 대화 그 바다 동을 미디고 지발에 저선 대화 구부하래 지난 진이 인사다 진이기 에 지발에 인사다 진이기 전물이야다 강하다 진이기 두 신의 강하 체연도 안 돼야 바 그 강하래 누마래 삼제나 언저기 경마도 야샤스가요 말마 대강아래 나강아네 지주세스 무소도라마도 캡사스가요 말마 예레바 주신다 강아디 용님 진네지게 차상다 두스네 강아 체어데 이기 대서 빠생할려 취시하고 깨게 두스 다시 한 이제 내가 제발나 취시야 보고 하게 두 진다다 진네 나를 강아 요바나 신 신심제 탐지를 강아 요래 난 신심제 탐지게 다 강아디 기니 술래 되는게 되어 가는 수준의 삶의 탐지에 땅이 있으면 어차피 강화 체험도 되니기다 장수 남도 교회하고 그러다 마음시로하다 되니기 공부해서 이 강도도 이 공부해야지 하는 소설의 캡상을 해야 하는 마음으로 소설의 대우 약을 줄에 되니 려워져요 말이에요 려워져요 되니 려워 마집하지 소설의 하상 남다 탄에 두시네 공부해 있나 아니 되니기 강화 지원 제거하지다 가서 한번 납치에 되니 레시하서 되니 제거를 가서
So, good morning. Yesterday we spoke again about how all sentient beings are the same as ourselves in wanting to experience only happiness and not wanting to experience any form of suffering and difficulty, no matter how slight. We also spoke about how in the world, both the world and with the beings within the world, we see so many problems. So within the world, such as environmental issues, and certainly in terms of individuals, in terms of the problems coming from afflictive minds and the like. So when we see these difficulties, just thinking about it and getting depressed about it certainly is of no benefit. However, if we take the reflection and if we take this experience and reflect on how we have attained a precious human rebirth, and what that means is we ourselves have the opportunity to develop our minds into the mind of a Buddha or in the direction of a Buddha, we have a very rare and special opportunity. And so because we have this opportunity that is so rare and special and an opportunity that really so few people have, we need to try and do what we can to help others. And in this way, we take the suffering from others who do not have the opportunity to engage in the mental development and progress towards Buddhahood in the way that we can. We take all their suffering on and we perform the meditation of taking like we spoke about yesterday. We take all those problems on and transform them in the path to enlightenment. And we spoke yesterday also in the last section on the mind training commitments about how we should do this practice without hoping for an individual ripening result. In other words, without having the aspiration to benefit ourselves. So rather to engage in this practice with an altruistic attitude. And now we'll continue with the seventh outline, the precepts of mind training. And the first one is do everything with a single intention.
And 지게 안 아주세야디 먼저 탑다 셰랍 탑 자주셈 탑나 셰랍 니 안에 송제 니가 냠도 콤바텔라는 난조세 난조발아고 난조라고
So what we have here, maybe, so let's maybe change the translation to do every yoga with a special intention, as opposed to everything, because the word here is actually yoga. So do every yoga with a single intention. So this word here, yoga, as in yogini or yogi, so this word yoga, it means engaging in practices of the method side or the wisdom side with a mind that is undistracted, a mind that is fully engaged in practices of the method side or the wisdom side. This term yoga is used in many contexts. So we know, of course, the yoga of meditation. There's also the yoga of eating and the yoga of sleeping. And in here it particularly means to do everything with the single intention. So that, what does this term "a single intention" refer to? So here, this is in line with the meditations we've been discussing for the last number of days. How all sentient beings want to experience only happiness and don't want to experience any kind of suffering. And despite this, we all encounter suffering after suffering. And thinking then about the situation of all sentient beings, one generates the minds of love and compassion. And then one cultivates this further. So that one also gives rise to the mind of bodhicitta. And then in conjunction with the mind of bodhicitta, one meditates on emptiness. So here one then generates these two minds, bodhicitta and emptiness. So then when one engages in whatever activity one does, for example, cooking a meal, then one engages in this activity with these minds of bodhicitta and emptiness present in one's continuum. So when one is cooking one's meal, one is aware that I have this precious human rebirth, so I have this physical form, which is an excellent and an unparalleled basis for achieving the state of enlightenment. Furthermore, within my body, there are many tiny beings living within our body. So now I'm going to cook a meal with the intention of sustaining my body so that I can engage in Dharma practice for the sake of sentient beings. And furthermore, when I eat, it will be to also nourish the beings living within my body. And thereby, I can practice generosity and make strengthen our connection, etc. So with this kind of motivation, one then cooks one's meal.
And
then the yoga of when one goes to sleep. So here one lies down, like we spoke about yesterday, and we cultivate the mind, recollecting how all sentient beings want to be free from suffering. They don't want to experience any kind of difficulty at all. And we progress with this meditation to the point where we make the commitment to take responsibility to free all sentient beings from their suffering states. And this way we generate bodhicitta and the wish to attain enlightenment. And with this in mind, we lie down. And this thinking then we can take into other activities, such as, for example, if we're cleaning, so we're sweeping an area. Here we have this awareness present, how all sentient beings want to be free of suffering. They only want to experience happiness, nothing apart from happiness. And so here we engage in this act of sweeping, and we can imagine we're sweeping away the obstacles of others, and we bring it rather towards them and the core roots of virtue. And in this way, we have this clear intention that whatever I do, even a mundane activity like sweeping, I will do for the benefit of others.
So this
way of thinking, we should utilize this way of thinking with whatever we do. So whatever activity we do should generate the mind of bodhicitta and the mind of emptiness. So being aware that whatever activity we engage in, we will not be separated from these minds. And we will be engaging in this activity so that all sentient beings can attain the state of enlightenment. And through training in this way, one is constantly bringing these two minds, the minds of bodhicitta and emptiness, to one's the forefront of one's mind, and keeping them present. And in this way, the cultivation of bodhicitta will come about because it's being regenerated again and again. Then the second precept, overcome all adversity with a single remedy. What is meant here by adversities? So adversities here, for example, when we in engaging in Dharma practice, we certainly engage or encounter adversity, such as we may become ill, or others may give us a hard time, make problems for us and the like, or from our own side we may have strong afflictions arising. For example, oh, this is really boring, I'd much rather be doing something else, and various excuses to do something else ripen in the mind. So these all are included in adversities. So whether it's physical illness, or other people giving us a hard time, or our own mind giving us a hard time, These are all included within adversity. So when we do encounter adverse conditions like these, then if we respond to this, these adverse conditions in the usual way that we do, which is to think about them, to complain about them, oh, I'm feeling no good today, oh, my mind is complaining a lot today, why does this keep happening, etc. So if we have this way of thinking, all it serves to do is make whatever obstacle we have that much bigger. So this thinking about the problem that we have repeatedly serves only to enlarge the problem, to exaggerate the problem within us. Rather, we should transform this problem onto the path by acknowledging, first of all, that we have this adverse situation now. We have some illness, someone is giving us a hard time, or our mind is complaining, we're having some strong afflictions present. Whatever that adverse condition is, first acknowledge, yes, this is the situation. And then being aware that we alone are not in this situation. There are countless sentient beings who are right now experiencing exactly the same difficulty as we are experiencing. And they may be experiencing it in a lesser way, they may be experiencing it much more strongly than we are. However, we are in this unique position of having this knowledge of the mind training techniques. And therefore, we have this this potential to train in this situation and to try and take away all the suffering that others are experiencing. And as we are experiencing it now, then let me be the only one to experience it. Because I now, through this training, can develop the strength of mind to take on this suffering, and thereby may no other sentient being have to suffer in this way. And even if they are not suffering in this way right now, for sure they have the causes in their continuum to suffer in this way. And thereby, by engaging in this practice of taking, may I take away their causes that they have accumulated to suffer in this way, even if they're not experiencing it at this present moment. And then having generated the mind of bodhicitta and the understanding of emptiness, we engage in this practice of taking. We take on all their suffering and the causes of the suffering that they're experiencing and the causes, the karmic causes of their future suffering. We take this all on and we dissolve it into our self-grasping mind here. And as was described yesterday in this taking meditation, we then, when we have this firm and stable, we then move the meditation onto one of emptiness, and we look at the emptiness of our self-grasping mind or our other afflictive minds. We look how these minds are not inherently existent. So we had the description on how to meditate on emptiness. So you first come to see how this mind of self-grasping or attachment appears, and then you investigate if it exists in that way. So that then is the next step, to investigate the way that the afflictive minds appear, and if they exist in that way. Then we move on the meditation onto giving. And here we give all mental happiness to others, all our roots of virtue, all our roots of future happiness that we have accumulated, we offer to others so that others can experience happiness, and more importantly, so that they can have the karmic seeds to encounter the Dharma, to practice successfully on the path, and to strive for and attain the exalted state of Buddhahood. So in this way, we give all happiness to others, and we take from them all their forms of suffering with a strong and heartfelt wish to, may we be the only ones who experience the suffering. May no one else experience the suffering that I am now. May they be liberated from it. When we practice in this way, our mind becomes very strong and very powerful, because this mind of bodhicitta gives the mind great strength, as does the mind of emptiness. So whilst we will have this heartfelt wish to experience suffering for others, and so that they do not, because of the power of our mind, we will not actually experience any mental suffering. And that is because both of these minds, bodhicitta and emptiness, are powerful minds. They are not weak, timid minds. And therefore, we can willingly take on and willingly give.
Then
the third precept, two activities to be done at the beginning and end. So the beginning refers to when you wake up in the morning, to immediately generate a virtuous motivation. So this motivation should be in accordance with what we generated when we went to sleep the night before, which was bodhicitta and emptiness. And when you have familiarity, that motivation will stay present throughout our sleep, and when you arise, that motivation will be we can generate very easily. So when you wake up, we generate the motivation of bodhicitta and emptiness. May for the benefit of all sentient beings, may my meditation today on bodhicitta and emptiness be successful, and all my activities, may they be done under the motivation of bodhicitta and emptiness, so as all to ensure that all sentient beings attain the exalted state of Buddhahood. So we've established the motivation. We then engage in our meditation. So we engage in our meditation, and afterwards, of course, we engage in our activities for the day. So whatever activities we are engaging in that day, we should regenerate this motivation that we set in the morning. So whenever we can take a moment just to recall the motivation of bodhicitta, and just to recall the mind of emptiness. So, and in terms of the mind of emptiness, whatever we are experiencing at that moment, whether it's a physical phenomena or mental phenomena, that these do not truly exist. The way that they appear and the way that they abide are not truly existent. Likewise, all the attainments on the path, including Buddhahood, that too is not truly existent. So in that way we remind ourselves very briefly of emptiness, remind ourselves very quickly of bodhicitta, and we continue in all our activities with these two minds present, taking a few moments as often as we can just to regenerate this motivation.
だでねげ、ジェバダダゴンダ、ゴンダダショベクナニングリダチマテムシテ。だゴンダ、だゴンダマ、やがるちかんとかしゃなんでニーロメニニエリア、サンダンゴレス。だディリングニングン、アニゲトニーゴラサンダカテダシャ、チェジュセミゴラサンダカテダシャ。チクサンダ。アンチャラカテダンダシャ。でね、アニディメンビゲダディゴロチサンダカカレマオレシャス。でねげホシブチェ。 だでねげ、あんとんゆうごだでね、じゃんじゅうせんゆうごろぎでねえとんのや、さんのやぼたじんちえげな、おだちしやすんびびかわおもれす。だげしだ、でねげしら、まちえわちえ、あんねりばるだでねげ、にべめんびげだ、なみやとねりゃが、でねぎじゅつまもぞえな、おだちえやぼちえみどわすん、そそそそ、そらんだもれしん。けえだんべ、じりしゅうえやらんで、じゃんじゅうせんなとんゆうごこんぐんらさん、さんたんさ、だにんごでりゃがれめどわす。だでけえべ、どくりゃちえだしん。 대만되는지교말세는먼저부를납제가나소소소리야티도삼소람다근데야고치에는빼야고치다디샤선비게다다디샤선비가고금루시오고데스니네안에가오디샤담에가오금바다다타마디네스삼다네
And now we come to so the two activities to be done at the beginning and end. And the end means, of course, now the end of the day has come. And now we sit down in the evening and we reflect on our activities of the day. And we recall the motivation that we set in the morning. And we recall how often we were able during the day to regenerate that motivation of bodhicitta and emptiness. And we also then reflect on the activities that we engaged in that day, how successful we were in engaging with the motivation to be of benefit to others. And we also recall to mind any negativities or whatever negativities we did incur in that day. And then with this awareness of how our day went, we then engage in a practice of confession. So we do the purification practice for the negativities that we did incur that day. And then we, looking at the good that we did that day, we rejoice in that. And where we think we could have done better, then like a loving parent scolding a child, we scold our own afflictions, because it was only our own afflictive minds that prevented us from being of benefit to others, particularly the minds of self-grasping and self-cherishing. And with the scolding of these afflictive minds of ours, we make the commitment firmly again that from now everything we do, we will do under the influence of bodhicitta and wisdom of understanding emptiness for the benefit of all sentient beings. In this way now we generate great joy at of what we've engaged in that day, and the merit that we've accumulated and the benefit we've been for others. And then we dedicate all that merit that has been accumulated for the sake of all sentient beings. So we do make this dedication with understanding of bodhicitta and emptiness present, and we dedicate so that all sentient beings can be liberated from suffering and experience the lasting happiness and bliss of Buddhahood. So that's the end of the day, comes to the dedication.
Doctor says, 도도 지거에서 로고 첨부 안에 수부 첨부에 행지게 시나죠 근데 이제 밀려 눈에다 막 뭐 당고를 다 두 니다 당고를 된 점도 미쳐서 꾸마 제거를 되게 초월다 도도세 김민디라 이제 시 뱅고트 라그사 뱅고트 뱅고트 라그 뱅고트 제가 그 미쳐서 그 민디 투어는 제나 남자로 끼고 되네 지어래서 디디 지그 타마
So
here there's a story about the past in Tibet. So there used to be at the monasteries monks called Dokdok, and these were really tough guys, and they're physically strong and mentally brave, and their job was to be physical guardians of the monastery, so that guard the monastery against thieves or wrongdoing and the like. And these were really tough guys, and they would if necessary they would fight, and they would engage physically with to ensure that the monastery was protected. So there was one monk called Geshe Bangguti, and he was so renowned as being a real hard character that people would just hear his name and become afraid. They wouldn't even need to see him. So back then in Tibet, the in Tibet, of course, this was a while ago, so all the water that you would need to fetch from rivers, and the wood for making fires that need to collect. So this work was done by the monks who weren't engaged in their studies. So the dopdops and the like, they would do this. But the monks who engaged in their studies, they were excused from such work. So this kind of hard physical work was done by these dopdop monks. So one day an old lady, she was walking along the road that she knew the monks used to collect firewood and water. So she was really quite afraid that she'd meet this very fierce Geshe. So this lady who was fearful about meeting this Geshe was walking along the road, and a monk was coming towards her, and so she asked him, do you know where this fearsome Geshe is? Am I going to meet him on the road? And he said, of course you are. I am him. And she got so frightened, she actually dropped dead there.
Dene shi da da di geshi bengo da samna la ka gyo the ba re. Ati da nga mi du ja shi u chi re. Da ni dene chi ngon na da ne ngi mi ju thwa da ne mi dene shi go ra. Pe sa sha sam ji de go dene ko ngi jung shi u je ba re shi go ra. Ngi jung shi u je ba re.
So when this fearsome Geshe saw this old lady drop dead before him, he was shocked, and he realized that even his very name carried such destructive power, and this really had a strong impact on his mind and changed his mind, and he developed a strong sense of renunciation, the wish to of definite emergence, because of what he had just witnessed.
Tene ko koran dat tene ki pe sasha dange dikpa shivu sasha pe nga dukja le shasam che ko mejung ki to ko tene ko tham, tham jaa ro gare, tham jaa. Tene ko ko le ya kala da tene chigen jinda chik rao le ya, tene ko tham jaa ro gare.
Then with this, the strong mind of renunciation, now this mind of definite emergence, he was determined to turn away from his previous ways, and he never wanted to have that impact on others. And he went into a retreat, and he had someone who was going to help him materially support him in his retreat.
And then
he was watching his mind very carefully, and when his mind was going in a wholesome direction, he would take a little white pebble and put it in a pile, and when it was going in an unwholesome direction, he put a black pebble in another pile, and he would do this throughout the day, and at the end of the evening, he'd look at the two piles and count the number of pebbles in each pile, and with regard to the pile of black pebbles, he would then see how many there were and then scold himself and say, it's because of your mind going in such a direction, in this unwholesome direction, that your mere name has this incredibly negative effect on others.
And then slowly
the white stones would increase, the white pebbles would increase. And then with regard to the number of white pebbles, he would praise himself. Gessler, today you did very well. You had this number of white pebbles. And he would praise himself and pat himself on the back.
One
day, the sponsor of this monk who was in retreat was going to come and visit him. So, knowing that his sponsor was going to come and visit, then he prepared his altar very nicely. He cleaned his room, and he put on clean clothes, and he sat in the meditation posture. So everything looked very nice from the outside. And then his sponsor actually didn't turn up that day. And then he had lots of time to reflect on what he had done. And he saw that actually my motivation for what I did here was really poor. It was contrary to the Dharma. I was being pretentious and hypocritical, trying to present myself in a certain way to one being in particular. So he saw the hypocrisy of what he had done and how this was not in accordance with the Dharma. And he generated great shame for what he had done. And he covered his head in his robes and made his room dirty again. And he took dust off the floor and threw it on the shrine. And he engaged in meditation on love and compassion. And his meditation was very powerful and successful. And then at that time in India, there was a famous Indian teacher whose name I can't remember, but it's in our Lam Rim book a lot, and Padma Sengi in Tibetan. And he was aware of this. And he mentioned to his students that, oh, today in Tibet, a monk has generated love and compassion. So this advice here in the third precept, two activities to be done at the beginning and end. So here we should try and be like the Geshe, who through watching his mind very carefully and reducing the unwholesome minds, increasing the wholesome minds, he was able to actually achieve great attainments in that life. So we have the advice here to act in act similarly to him.
All right, that didn't it? Wadi nipo kanchung suyabar chahasi, nipo kanchung suyabar chini. Da nipo kanchung suyabar chahasi, tawe chik tichi, tangwati chashan diku.
Then the fourth precept, be patient with whichever of the two arise.
Da nipo kanchung suyabar chahasi, da karsu gosu, da nganzuge da, tse dilya nganzuge, benjoa da, longjue da, da yakura chungba ina. Ane, da dindigi nganzule, ngajia jile, nyinga yorwa, da nganzu,
Here this refers to the conditions we have in our life. So our resource, whatever resources we have, whatever wealth we have and the like, it's very easy to have some pride about the good things that we have in our life. So when this kind of mind arises, it's essential that we are aware of this and we apply antidotes. So here, especially in terms of these resources, we should recall the impermanence of whatever we have. Everything that we have has come about due to causes and conditions. So therefore, it is not truly existent. It's not inherently existent. And with this awareness of its impermanence and its lack of true existence, we know that because it arose in dependence on causes and conditions, it will also degenerate. At some point, whatever we have, we won't have. So with this understanding, our attachment to them and also our mind of pride towards them will dissipate. And furthermore, we're generating now these Dharma minds. So we reflect on why do we have these resources, and we relate that to our motivation of wanting to achieve enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, wanting all sentient beings to be free from all forms of suffering. So with that in mind, we know that these resources that we have, we don't have them for long because they are impermanent. So whilst I have them, whatever I have in abundance, I should use to be of benefit to others and use to generate merit. So we can practice generosity towards those who don't have, practice generosity towards the three jewels and the like. And in this way, we can utilize our resources in a way that is beneficial.
That だってね、今日ちょっと会社ごろすね。お、だってが今日でかが、だがなしん、全然がてかが言うけど、今日、かが、せいでる。だ、まれ今日はあの際やと、君にめてかが。でにげてんじゃかが言うれ。だってにげどうだ。だがれやみ。今度はね、勉強やこちゃだ。でにやこよんわしょ。かが、せわしょ。なるみんばし。だに、てぎだにまげだ、てぼかで、君ね、今度はみんばし。どうせどんれんごもれ。でにごもれし。だて、え、ちきてれだ。
So we have here, be patient with whichever of the two arise. So that was one, and then the other is the opposite situation. Because at some point in our life, we don't have sufficient resources to fulfill our needs, and we're really quite poor and destitute. So when we encountering such a situation, when we're encountering such a situation, the mind tends to become depressed. Oh, I don't have enough to eat, or my money's finished and it's nowhere near payday, and we can become quite dispirited. So here what we should rather do is engage in the practice of taking and giving, like we heard before. So we see how we are in a sorry situation, a desperate situation, but we recall that there are other beings in a similar and worse position than we are, and they too will be feeling desperate and despairing over their situation. But unlike us, they don't have a method to deal with this. We have the practice of taking and giving. We have the Buddha Dharma. So they don't have a solution to their suffering. So we can engage in the meditation where we regenerate bodhicitta, we take on the suffering of others, and then we know that in past lives we will definitely have accumulated causes for the opposite of this, causes to have abundant resources, to have all one's needs fulfilled and the like. So these causes for happiness that we have accumulated in the past, we now offer to others. So those others who are feeling hopeless and without a solution, we offer all our roots of virtue to them, so that all their sufferings, both these coarse and certainly the subtle ones, can be eliminated, and they can experience all forms of happiness. So in this way, we use our own desperate situation in terms of taking on the path with the practice of taking and giving. So then the fifth line, protect the two even at the cost of your life. So the two refer to the trainings and precepts of mind training. So these two we should protect very carefully.
So
now we have the third one, practice the three difficulties. So the three difficulties refer to, firstly, how easy it is for the afflictions to arise in our continuum. They certainly seem to almost naturally arise in our continuum. So that's the first difficulty. The second difficulty is how difficult it is to be aware or mindful that an affliction is now present and dominant in our mind. And then the third is how difficult it is to remove that affliction, to eliminate that affliction. So those are the three difficulties. So the way we need to relate or respond to this is we need to, firstly, we need to be mindful of what is happening in our mind, mindful of our mind, and be aware of the arisal of afflictions. Then secondly, we need to apply the antidote to that affliction, to those afflictions. And then the third step would be to completely eradicate those afflictions. So again, these three difficulties relate to how easily, first of all, the afflictions arise. Secondly, how difficult it is to be mindful of the presence of the afflictions. And thirdly, how difficult it is to eradicate them. And then the way to deal with each of these is to firstly be mindful of the presence of the afflictions. Secondly, to when we are mindful of them, not to leave it at that, but to apply the antidote. And then thirdly, to eventually be successful in eradicating the afflictions. Now we're at the seventh one. He adopts the three principal causes. So the three principal causes to be adopted. So the first is the meeting of a spiritual friend. The second is to make the mind serviceable or suitable for engaging in practice. So the first is to meet a virtuous friend, and the second is to make the mind serviceable or suitable for engaging in practice. And then the third is to have the relevant or the necessary conditions, the conducive conditions, so as to engage in Dharma practice. So we need to see if we have these three, and if we do, generate great joy.
Oh yeah. That didn't get to your mother in a damn them so sugi, Nata, Mevache, enjoy your watch, didn't you chase and Maravada? Now, so sugi, chase was some Tungin Yene, Zuba Nazaj in the Chimatuvada. Didn't get so sugi was some Nanti, Tungin, Madame, Chimatu, Unguru, Gama, Unguruva. Didn't come on your two couple, oh, damn, I didn't get my yard. Damn, Madame, Nada was simply the name of Gatti. That didn't hear was that didn't come on doos and Busu, what in the social murder, Gama. 지난 딜 봐 주지네 되네 시한 심장 내가 강아 되네 쉬어 뒤 차가 다 말아야 민지 네 강아 될 투념 덤지 안 샤다 지게 차선 튕게 차선 최지하게 튕용 고급 차선 야고 샤와쇼 되네 건조 강아 되 네지 말민 되네 건조로 강아 되네 마중 오셔서 되네 투례 다 냠지 고미야래 땅 되네 그 소수게 개와서 나 차선 건조를 봤다 되네 건조 차선 안에 최시게 튕게 차선 루빈 최지하게 삼바디게 야고 차신 최지 되네 네 타바 탐지기로 고마 토비게네 니바야고 샤송스 소소 가오고무고 예세제 나 돈레 고 가오고무고 예세
So we've seen what these three principal causes are, and we should investigate if we have them and then rejoice. And then there will be other times when we don't have them. For example, we want to go to teachings, but we don't have the money, or we're ill, or we'd like to study further, but there is no teacher, or whatever the difficulty may be. So there are times when one doesn't have these principal causes. So at such times, again, like we heard the advice before, to become to worry about this, to become close-minded and narrow-minded about it, think about, oh, me and my problems and my sufferings and my difficulties, this only makes it worse for us, and it is of absolutely no benefit to others. Rather, what we need to do is take these difficult conditions and transform them on the path. So just like we've been hearing up to now, we reflect that, yes, I have this difficulty. We acknowledge that we have this difficulty. There are others who have this difficulty, but far greater than I do, or maybe the same, or maybe smaller, but they don't have the opportunity like I do to utilize this training on the path and progress towards enlightenment for their sake through applying this difficulty. So they're really lost without a method. And because I have this method, I have an added responsibility. I have a responsibility to utilize this method to be of benefit to others. And then we engage in this practice of taking and giving, taking on the suffering of others, those who are also suffering the way that we are with, say, with illness or with not having sufficient financial resources or not having access to a path, having teachings, so access to a path of mental development. We take this on and we give them wholeheartedly the causes of virtue that we have. And then we generate great joy in knowing that through our process of taking, we have eliminated their suffering. And our process of giving, we have given them, the other sentient beings, the causes to experience lasting happiness. And with this, we generate great joy in our mind.
And then the
eighth one, cultivate the three attitudes which must not decline. So first of all, the first one relates to having faith and appreciation for our teacher, the teacher who is teaching us the path to enlightenment, the path to be of benefit to others. In other words, having appreciation and respect for, yes, sorry, the word's not to pay here, the appreciation and respect for our teacher, because they are teaching us how to develop our minds so that we can be of greatest benefit to others. And so that is that these minds of respect and appreciation, we should guard against them degenerating or declining. So that's the first. Then the second is the effort that we put into our practice. So we maybe have some inspiration coming out from this retreat, and we have an inspiration to engage in practice. So this effort that we put into the practice of mind training, we should guard against this declining. That's the second one. Then the third one, and here it's to when we have the opportunity to engage in a wholesome act, in a virtuous activity, but it's something kind of small. We may think, oh, this isn't so important, there's only a small benefit that will come from this. That kind of mind should be guarded against. Equally, the opposite to that, if we, when we're reviewing the day and we're looking at the faults we've done, we should not say, oh, that's only a small fault, it doesn't matter. This, we should guard against seeing either small virtuous qualities as not worth the effort, or small virtuous activities, or small negativities as not mattering. We should guard against these with a mind of conscientiousness, and we should engage in virtuous activities, whether small or large, and we need to purify our negativities, whether small or large. So the third one relates with this mind of conscientiousness. And the ninth one remain inseparable from the three. So the three relate to activities of the body, speech, and mind. So here this is quite clear. When as much as possible we need to engage in virtuous activities with the body, speech, and mind. So we'll stop there for our morning session. And so what did we look at today? So today what we looked at was really how to keep these minds of bodhicitta and emptiness present and utilize them throughout the day. So we spoke about in the morning when we rise to generate this motivation relating to bodhicitta and emptiness. So we need to cultivate both minds with the motivation to liberate all beings from suffering and to attain the lasting happiness of Buddhahood. And then we also mentioned how during the course of the day we need to take a few moments as regularly as we can just to remind ourselves of emptiness. So whatever we are experiencing, whether it's a particular mind, a particular mental phenomenon, or whether it's a physical phenomenon, reminding ourselves that the way it appears is not how it exists in reality. And likewise, reminding ourselves repeatedly throughout the day about bodhicitta. Our goal in life is to develop ourselves in order to be of lasting benefit to others, and in particular to help free all beings from suffering and take them to the state of lasting happiness of Buddhahood. So these two minds we need to briefly recultivate many times throughout the day. Then comes to the end of the day, we sit down and we take some time to recall the day and see the motivation that we cultivated in the morning. How did we comply with that motivation throughout the day, and where we did act in accordance with the minds of bodhicitta and emptiness, we should rejoice. Where we didn't, we should set the motivation to try and do more so tomorrow. And where we engage in negativities, we should utilizing the four opponent powers we spoke about yesterday, generate regret for the negativity that we engaged in, and we should engage in purification practice and have the commitment not to do so again. And then lastly, now being aware of all the virtue that we accumulated today and being joyful about also having purified the negativities that we had accumulated today, we should dedicate this merit for the sake of all sentient beings. And in particular, engage in this act of giving, offering this merit that we accumulated in dependence on the kindness of others, we offer this merit to others so that they may achieve their heart wish. And their heart wish is, of course, to be freed from suffering. Then we come to lie down, and we lie down and again cultivate this mind of bodhicitta and this this mind understanding emptiness. And with those two present in our mind, we go off to sleep. So this afternoon we'll continue with from the 10th of the precepts, looking at the minds of equanimity and impartiality. Questions? Text in English, Gela will know, and I don't know of one. Maybe Lundrup or Yeshi do, or someone else. The name of the Geshi. Then Gela can remember Dr. Kikola Sung Sung. Then Kungi Ming Dagaran Sung Sung.
Ben Guti, sir.
Ben Guti. Ben Geshi Ben Guti. Ben Guti.
Lumrim Nadiwa, Nadi Lumrim Chimboda, Namdo Lamja, Paji Dinadiwa, Tamjura, Dingere. Sign I am not the Lumrim Nale Yore.
Ale, Ale. Okay. So some of the stories in liberation of the palm of your hand, Geshe-la also said now that it is in the text we're studying, the words of my perfect teacher. We'll come to it in the text we're studying. So there you go, he did know. Okay.
Why does it mean that people are protected to even at the cost of your life? I've got the precepts in mind, but I didn't get the other one.
So the precepts of mind training, so this point 7, and then point 6, the commitments of mind training. So the 6th outline which we did yesterday afternoon, the commitments of mind training, and this outline we're doing now, the precepts of mind training, these two.
Okay, and see you this afternoon.